Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Well, welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily, and in just a moment, we're going to jump into a conversation with myself, Laura, and our guest, Portia Collins. But first, I want to share with you a couple of quick things. If you've been enjoying this series and you want to learn how to apply the gospel to any area of motherhood, we hope you'll check out the Risen Motherhood book. In the book, Laura and I use a helpful framework, and we give 16 examples of how we've applied the gospel in our own lives to things like marriage, mundane moments, postpartum body image, school choices, and more. We are definitely still learning and growing, and our heart is to meet you where you're at. So we hope that you'll check out this resource. It's available wherever books are sold, and it comes in a variety of formats. You can visit the show notes for more info. So a second thing I want to share is that if you are a regular listener to the Risen Motherhood podcast, we want to hear your voice. Send us a short audio message telling us why you're a part of the RM community, and we may feature it in a future podcast episode. You can visit risenmotherhood.com/tell-us-why for more info, and we cannot wait to hear these clips. You're actually going to hear one at the end of this show. Okay, so let's transition because we have our second interview in this Moms and Work series with our friend Portia Collins. She is a Christian Bible teacher and writer, blogger who enjoys studying and teaching scripture. Portia is the founder of She Shall Be Called, a women's ministry centered on helping women understand and embrace true biblical womanhood through the solid study of God's word. She is currently working for Revive Our Hearts, where she manages partnerships and co-hosts Grounded. You can find her at sheshallbecalled.com, or we will definitely link to all of her socials in the show notes. Portia is also a wife and a mom, and on this episode, you're going to hear her talk about how she manages a full-time job, a nonprofit, and her family life, all while entrusting herself to the Lord and seeking to follow him faithfully. Just as a quick reminder, all of these interviews are not meant to be prescriptive in how you should handle your work and motherhood, but we're just hoping to hear from a variety of women, and we hope that you'll get a glimpse into the lives of real moms who've had to make adjustments and hard choices over the years. We hope that this conversation is a blessing to you. All right, let's jump into the conversation with myself, Laura, and Portia. Well, thanks for joining us, Portia. We are so excited to chat. I remember several years ago when we were traveling and we came up to Revive Our Hearts and we walked into a cabin and met you in person for the first time and we got to room together. And then since then, I've just gotten to connect multiple times. So welcome, and we're glad you're here. And I'd love if you just share a little bit about yourself and your family and your work to just get us going.
I'm glad to. So I'm Portia Collins. I live in the Mississippi Delta. You probably can tell that already from my deep Southern accent. If not, keep listening, you'll hear it. I live in the Mississippi Delta with my husband, Mikhail, and my daughter, Emery. I used to call her a tenacious three-nager, but she just turned four. And so now I got to come up with something creative to call her. But yeah, we do life here. I currently serve with Revive Our Hearts. I have kind of like a dual role there. I work with the monthly partner program, and I co-host a web show. Well, it's a podcast and a video cast called Grounded. Yeah. And my next thing, and y'all, we're really going to get into this today. My next thing is I founded a ministry called She Shall Be Called that focuses on Bible literacy. So that's kind of like the 30,000 foot view of my life, because there are so many other details in there that I feel like I'm skipping over.
Yeah, we were just talking before we hit the record button, and Portia was telling us about all of the different facets of things that she does in her work and juggling, you know, running a nonprofit ministry as well as working for a nonprofit and doing great work there. And you work full time for that, for Revive Our Hearts. So you're doing this other nonprofit is fitting into the margins where you can. Plus you are raising your daughter. You are a wife. We know you're active in your local church. So you have a lot that you are juggling and you're managing. Can you maybe start out, Portia, and keep telling us a little bit about some of the nitty-gritty practicals that you are working through, but also just what do you love about how your work fits in to your mission as a Christian woman?
Oh, man. So I have a big, like, my thing is like service. And so I feel like every part of my life is serving. And to be completely honest, I've prayed and asked God so many times, help me to serve in every facet of life with joy, with, you know, completely fully giving myself. And so one of my like litmus tests is if I'm not serving my family with joy and fully, that means I probably need to let something drop off somewhere else because I'm just stretching myself a little bit too thin. And so I just love that I get to say this, I don't have to, but I get to serve well at Revive Our Hearts and I get to serve my family and all of it blends. Fortunately, I serve with the ministry that is what I call family friendly. Professionally, I've had a lot of jobs and many of them, especially here in the South, will boast and say, hey, we love kids, we're family friendly, but when the rubber meets the road, they aren't. And so I am happy to really serve with a ministry who, like, they say what they mean and mean what they say. And so Emmy has never been considered a distraction or a hindrance or anything like that. In fact, if you go back and look at some of the early episodes of Grounded before she started school, Emmy would make frequent appearances. And, you know, no one ever slapped my hand and say, hey, get that kid out of here. And so it helps to be surrounded with people who have the same worldview as you and prioritize the same things. You know, I work and I serve, but also I'm a mom and I'm a wife. And like, it's like non-negotiable, you know, like I'm not going to push that to the side. And so, yeah, so it kind of all blends well together. But I think the house that it all fits under is serving and serving well.
So I think you're talking a little bit about how you see your role as a mom and a wife intersecting with the service that you do in your income producing work. Can you just share a little bit more about, as you've, you know, taken that to the Lord over the years, how has he blessed you in and through that? Or like what, or how has he like even provided for you in the midst of, you know, hard seasons, which we all have, where you feel like, nope, I've got too much on my plate.
I think that, of course, God is such a God of grace. And I haven't been a mom and a wife for very long. So, like, I feel like I'm still a newbie. Mikhail and I got married in, 2016. And I think God has been gracious in helping me to, like, learn this step by step. I'm your classic, like, type A, feel like I got to have it all together, have a plan, and it has to work this way. And mothering and being a wife has like taught me, first of all, there's no handbook, there's no degree that you can get that's going to help you like master this. It's one of those things where you just have to walk in grace every day and you're looking to God every day. So I'll be the first to say that I haven't always gotten it right. I have loaded my plate down with too much stuff. And I have found myself stretched thin, but God has been gracious to help me realize that and help me reprioritize. And, you know, I don't beat myself up about it. It's like, okay, I take assessment and then it's like, all right, let's change lanes, shift gears here and figure out how to make this work a little bit better.
I do think that's like a great encouragement for any mom who's out there, whether or not you're working, you know, two jobs or you have a full-time position and doing something on the side or you're at home all day. I think that that's something where we really do need to talk to friends and family and be able to say, hey, like to our husbands, Do you feel like your needs are being met? Do you feel happy with the work schedule that we've engaged in, you know, and vice versa? I mean, I know even my husband and I, like, we have discussions about his schedule. We have discussions about my schedule. And I think as moms, we really need to be open to having really clear communication with other people, particularly our spouse, but also sometimes we need those outside voices, like what you're saying here, to be able to point out and say, hey, like, I think your priorities are a little out of whack here. And those are really hard things to hear. But when they're said from a friend in love who cares for you and knows you in real life, I mean, that really can change the tone of how I think the course of your life goes, right? It can really change.
I agree.
And help bring you back to say, oh, no, this is what I want to be about, you know?
There have been times when I was working other jobs where he and I have sat down and we said, he's been like, come on home, girl. This ain't working. You know, like, we got to figure out something. And that's part of the reason how I ended up coming to Revive Our Hearts is just because I knew that I was having it was a huge adjustment with me for my previous job. And for context, for those listening, I was executive director of an arts-based nonprofit. And that's what my background is in. I've pretty much always done nonprofit work since I graduated college. And it was a great job in the sense of, you know, doing meaningful work for my community, but I'm not gonna lie, it was a lot. It was a lot because it was a small arts-based, like, little teeny tiny nonprofit. That means that I'm not only the executive director, I'm the social media manager, I'm the maintenance person, I'm the janitor, like, I am everything. And there would be times when I would have to, like, 10 o'clock at night, if something happened at the center, I got to get up and I got to go check on it. And me and my husband, you know, we both agree, we don't know if this is, like, the best fit. And so this is where I think just prayer and trusting God, because I left that job not knowing what I was going to do next, which is not typical for me, because I told you guys, I'm a planner. I'm your type A. Like, I'm not leaving no job if I don't know what's going on next. And so I really think it was like a radical, like, faith move for both of us to agree and just say, okay, we're going to wait and pray and just kind of reassess some things. And thankfully, God worked it out to where I have a much better fit. And I honestly feel like I have the most balance that I've ever had since I've been a wife and a mama.
Yeah, I love you just sharing about what the Lord taught you in and through that, to depend on Him and faith to take your very real challenges and struggles where you don't have a solution, but you know that the Lord does in His timing, even if that solution wouldn't have looked like, you know, a phenomenal, perfect job. I know for some people, it may be waiting longer, or maybe provision in a different way, or it may just
being at home and just at home for a season. Yeah. You know, that was the plan initially, was, okay, I'm not going to look for anything. And I didn't, like, coming to Revive Our Hearts, like, literally fell into my lap. But, like, it's okay to take a season and say, hey, if you, and of course, I don't want to be, I guess, careless. I know that people have financial needs and many households are dual income households. I get that. But if you can, to be able to have space to, like, think and pray and reassess, like, that may be an option. But I guess my thing is, just don't close yourself off to, like, oh, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to do that, you know, because I used to be that person. I used to be that, no, I'm not quitting my job ever. And God humbled me and showed me, like, and then, like, just going from that, it's really kind of like living life more open-handedly. It's like I was clinging so tight to being, wanting to be defined as this career woman and all of this stuff. And God, like, just opened up my hands and my life changed. And I feel like I can work and serve in a better way to my family and with what I do at Revive Our Hearts in such, like, it's just better. Like, I'm a better person. I'm able to serve more joyfully and fully than when I was just being so tight-handed on life and my plans and things like that.
Yeah, I was just chatting with a friend the other day about how when I was in kind of the throes of working very heavily, I did not have good work-life balance. I was definitely just in a season where I had overcommitted, particularly for work, but also some personal things. And I was just sharing with her, like, in the moment, I really couldn't tell how unhealthy it was. Again, going back to the accountability, sometimes I think it's really hard for us to see. And yet, like you were saying, you know, you feel like you're better, or you feel like you're now that you found more balance, it's just, it all works better. And it is interesting because I think that it does sometimes take that kind of culling or removing of a lot of the things. And that may be saying, yeah, you've lost your job, you have to stop working where you are, you have to endure perhaps just in a tougher season, but being able to cull away some of those things where, hey, no, my identity is in my career. My identity is as a professional. My identity is in climbing the ladder and showing everyone what I can do. It's actually a kindness of God sometimes to let us get too deep to where we start to feel like we're drowning. And then he pulls us back and shows us a better way. And I do think, like, now, like you, I'm kind of hitting a little bit of a better stride and feel more content. Like, there's more balance. Like, I'm able to be a better friend and mother, and just holistically, like, choosing Christ day in and day out, instead of feeling like consistently I just wasn't even paying attention to the Lord, you know?
Yeah, like, put him on the back burner, girl. That's like, that's where I really hit it. Was I tell this story a lot with a lot of my friends at Revive Our Hearts, but I was going through this season right before I quit my previous job, where I was like, remember I told you, I was like tight fisted, like, I'm going to make this work. I know I'm having a hard time, but it has to work. And the Lord took me to the book of Haggai. And I know it had to be in the Lord, because ain't nobody just looking for the book of Haggai. Okay. So I don't know if it was a reading plan. I don't know how I ended up in this book, but just a quick short Bible lesson. Haggai was a prophet. And Haggai was basically prophesying to the people of Israel. And this was like post Babylonian exile. They had come back to Jerusalem. You know, the temple had been destroyed. They were supposed to rebuild the temple. Well, they came back and they laid the foundation. And then 16 years passed. And that's still all they had done, was lay the foundation. And they had gone and built their own houses and doing their own thing. And the Lord used Haggai to come to them and tell them, look, you're building your paneled houses, you're doing all of this stuff, but it's almost like you're doing it kind of in vain. It's like you're putting your money in a bag with holes in it. You plant a lot, but you harvest a little. And it's because you have not prioritized the Lord. Back then, the temple was like central to the faith. And so by them saying, hey, we ain't going to do nothing, like, we're putting it on the back burner. It was really like a negligence and a disrespect to God. And so God took me to that passage. And what I was hearing through that passage was, you have done everything that you wanted to do, Portia. You have held on to your plans. You have gone and worked here. You have chased degrees. And I have sat here on the back burner for years and years, and it's time for me to come off the back burner. And that is how it happened. I knew after I read that passage, it was like, okay, I got to reprioritize, because there are things that I knew that God was calling me to, both ministry related and family related, that I just kept pushing to the side because I didn't have any space. I didn't have any space in my life. And so I would say, well, I'm just going to push that. I'll do that later. And God just really brought it to me and showed me my things aren't second things. They're first things. Yeah. So like 2 weeks after like sitting in that passage, I put my resignation in and we started like reprioritizing. I had a conversation with my husband. Of course, I didn't just quit without, you know, talking to him. But initially he looked at me like, okay, are you crazy? And then he said, you know what? You know, after I explained and I told him what I'd been reading and studying, he's like, okay, if this is where the Lord is leading, then we have to be obedient to that. And I will say for us, that was like a radical move that really changed, like, even the climate of our home and how we're operating. It was probably one of the best things that happened for us, period.
Thank you for sharing that story with us and just bringing in scripture. And I think giving us a very real life practical example about how a mom goes before the Lord with his word and
listens to what he might want to do in her life and then responds in obedience alongside her husband. I think that's just such a beautiful picture. And I'm just love hearing how God was faithful to you in that. And I think even as we kind of transition to looking forward, we would just love to hear. I know you've mentioned you're type A, you're ambitious, you have plans. Like, as you look to the future, what kind of goals and hopes do you have for your work? And then how are you, especially in light of the decisions that you've made, like trusting God with those plans as you continue on?
I'm holding them loosely. Amen. Like, that's been my thing. It's like, okay, Portia, don't get too attached to anything. Even like this week, we're kind of, me and my husband are kind of going through a reassessment again. Like, for those who don't know, I deal with some chronic health issues. And so that's something that I have to keep in mind in terms of my capacity to be able to do things and deciding what future projects or whatever it is. I have to keep those things in mind. And so one of the things that I really want to do is I want to write. I really want to write a book, but I'm having to table that plan until I know that I have the capacity to be able to do it. Now, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, if you had told me that I could not do this right now, I would have had a fit and I would have been like, okay, let me figure out how I got to make this work. But now I really see it as a grace of God, like God showing, he's like showing me, I'm not just saying like, this is for your good. I'm not withholding good things for you from you. I am doing what's best for you. And so, I'm holding my plans loosely. I want to write. I want to see She Shall Be Called, go a little further, reach a little further. I have a huge passion for Bible literacy. And so I want to see more women really pick up their Bibles and understand it and not feel like they're reading Greek when they engage with the Word of God. And so honestly, the plan is to just trust God in every season, every moment. Like, I think about like new mercies every morning. It's not even just every morning, it's every moment. Uh-huh. And so, step by step, it's like, okay, what is this going to look like? And it's okay to plan. If you're a type A person like me, it's okay to set your goals. But my advice is to just hold them loosely and be, I feel like we need to have a very keen sense of discernment when it comes to looking at our lives and the seasons of every season is not the same. And so there may be something that you have to pull back or table or may have to take it off the table altogether, but that's okay. I really think that all of that is a grace from God, and just know, like, if you truly trust him and you trust him with your life and you trust him with your plans and with your family, then you're not losing anything by having to make adjustments, and reprioritize.
Well, I am very similar to you in the sense that, if a project comes across my desk, I'm like, let's go, let's do it. We'll figure it out. It's a yes now, we'll figure it out later. And like you, I've also realized over the years of just, it reminds me of the verses in Proverbs where it talks about walking in the way of the good, or show me the way of the good life. That part like has always stuck with me because it's about seeking wisdom, and it's about seeking Jesus, who is, who is wisdom, who is all wisdom. And that has always been something that's helpful for me in the past few years, because I've just thought, well, I want the good life. I want to walk in the way of the good. And that's what I want. And so I think as our goals and objectives and strategies and all the things that we're going after become informed by Christ and we set our eyes on him, it is amazing how it's not that I'm saying no to these things and feeling like, you're just going to pry them from my cold dead fingers, but it's that, like you're saying, I really do have open hands, and it's a much better way to live in a sense of saying, okay, Lord, it's all yours anyway. And so there's less disappointment. There's, I'm not discontent. I feel grateful for what I have. And it really is the good way. Like, this is the good life. And so I think that that's something, again, 3 or 4 years ago, I couldn't have recognized. I thought living the good life was, lots of accomplishments and lots of achievements and, showing everybody like all the great things that can be done. And in addition to my motherhood, right? And while being a great mom, but really like reorienting my heart and realizing, no, that's not eternal. And that's not what matters. And for that to root deep in your soul to where it truly informs your decisions, there is no life like it.
Yep, I agree. And as you were saying that, it just made me think, and I don't know who's listening, but I want to tell you, don't despise the small things. And I say this as a woman who used to despise the small things. I would be frustrated if I felt like, well, I'm not doing, this is not big enough, or this is not enough. Like, now I take so much joy in just doing something as simple as playing the Nintendo Switch with my daughter, you know, like, for me, that is like an accomplishment now. You know, it's not, it's a such a small thing, but it's so meaningful. And I think we live in a world now that tries to, our culture tries to program us to think bigger, chase more, do this, you know, but there are so many small things that bring God glory and ultimately encourage and impact the people around you. And so there are times, like, if you notice, I think we all are on social media together, but I've been kind of ghost on social media lately. Like, I'll post a little something here and there, but I'm not nearly as active. And I knew it was because I need to take a season to just chill and live my life, you know, and not have to share everything. Like, and so it's like, I'm enjoying those small things, the time with my daughter, the time with my husband. You know, one of the things that me and my husband have started doing lately are we're cooking Sunday dinners together. And it's such a small thing, but it's like, I feel like it's like huge in the kingdom. Like, the impact of that is much greater than what we see right now when we're standing in the kitchen making cornbread together. Like, I feel like it's so much bigger than that. And so if there is a woman who's listening and they hear us on here and they're like, oh yeah, Emily and Laura, they do Risen Motherhood and Portia does this and I need to do that. No, don't despise the small things, okay? That may not, what God has called us to may not be the same thing that what God is calling you to. And so just be present right where you are in life and hold your plans loosely and walk in the grace of God every moment. Not just every day, every moment.
Hi, my name is Faith, and I'm part of the Risen Motherhood community because being a stay-at-home mom can feel isolating. And I found your podcast at the beginning of 2020 when all of the shutdowns started happening. And I was a first-time mom with my newborn daughter, and I felt so alone and lost. And the Risen Motherhood podcast helped me through so many of the first-time mom struggles.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.